What if spiritual growth isn't about becoming more, but about remembering what you never lost? Welcome to Mystical Sisterhood. In this episode, I'm joined by Alicia Isaacs-Howes for a conversation rooted in remembrance of who you are in your core essence, the quiet difference between healing and fixing, and why compassion is your true nature, not something you have to practice. We talk about subtle self-abandonment, the energetic weight of unspoken worry, what 2025 revealed about outdated identities, and why 2026 supports clarity, speed, and aligned momentum. This is a conversation about returning to wholeness and trusting your sacred yes. This is an invitation to soften and listen to what is here for you. Welcome to Mystical Sisterhood. Let's get into the episode. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman, and this is the first episode of 2026. And wow, didn't we just have the millennium at 2000, Alicia?
I know, right? Time really is speeding up.
Yeah, it is. So I'm with Alicia Isaacs-Howes, and I'm going on the fourth year of the podcast here on Mystical Sisterhood. And you were with me, I looked it up, on episode 7, which was called The Healing Power of the Akashic Records, episode 80, which was Your Soul's Connection to Financial Flow, and two separate roundtables, which were a whole lot of fun. And when I was jogging my memory, I was like, man, I would really like to do one roundtable a month here at Mystical Sisterhood, because I think when we get the women together and we amplify it a little bit with a couple more voices, it gets supercharged. And who doesn't want that?
Yes, yes, please. I would love to be there for that in the audience or at the table.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to say for the listeners who are always here and they're really committed and they listen, almost weekly, they know you, I think. But for the new listener today, welcome if this is the first time you're listening to Mystical Sisterhood. And I want to say that for me, Alicia, like if people are close to me, they know that we met, 15, I think even more than 15 years ago. I put it around like 2008 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to say, because I think this is a really valuable thing that women do for women, is you were the original seed point for what I'm up to right now. Okay. So that was all those years ago. And I wrote this out and I'm going to read it a little bit, but I just said, you were my first spiritual teacher who came in the form of a friend. You were the first ever to suggest that I go into coaching. And I kind of laughed that off because I wasn't able, I was like, who me? Like, I'm not worthy. That's the consciousness I was in then. And you have really been a ride or die in this journey. And, I can only hope that I've been that for you. And it's just this reciprocal relationship that I think that we've enjoyed with one another. Yes. And maybe you were a person in the beginning that I was like, oh, this, Alicia is all the way here because she's been practicing for so long. And, I don't think you ever did that with me, knowing that I was maybe newer to spirituality and soul work.
Well, first of all, thank you. I do feel the same way about you. And I love the support and what you've done with the Mystical Sisterhood. And it's 3 years. Isn't that great? Like, wow, it's gone really fast. Yes, like technically you might have felt newer to spirituality in this life, but you and I go way back. We've had many and maybe in this life it was like we made the agreement, hey Maureen, I'll pop in and knock on your door if you need it, and you would have done the same for me.
Okay.
So just in this life, this is how it unfolded. But
Okay, so let's talk about that. I sent you some questions that we'll probably get to today, but is there just this quality to souls walking this human experience that we are here to awaken one another or be messengers or something like that? Or remembering? You talk about remembering?
Yes, I do talk about remembering. We're here with billions of other beings because We have an agreement to be in collaboration and community with each other. That's a part of the whole purpose of being on this planet, out of all the other possibilities, right? And I do believe that I know that you and I have had some other conversations where, some of the terminology, even in the spiritual woo-woo world, there's some distortion, there's some pollution, or just it's not as clear as it could be. And one of those terms is ascension, because it implies something that we have to change, we have to rise in order to meet or be in connection with a part of who we already are. So my sense is it's a remembering. We're remembering who we are. And coming back to your question, how fabulous that we have these other humans on the planet. They can be our friends, our colleagues, family members. Parents are often the big, the first cast of characters we put in our story, because they're going to teach us some, and they keep on giving the story the healing, the opportunities they offer. And we play these different roles, or we provide each other opportunities to get really clear about, if we're having a reaction to someone or something. It's not about the other person. It's not what they do. It's not what they've done. And it's not even how they make you feel. It's what is responding in you that is having that reaction, or that irritation, or the upset, or whatever it might be. And so then we have that invitation to say, oh, that's interesting. When this happens, I get irritated. Let's go look at that part of me that's getting irritated. When, where, what part of me, what age am I being when I feel that way? What is the connections that I have, or what is this person or this group or this situation reminding me of? And then we remember more of our wholeness as we heal, as we let go of, it's not necessarily let go, transmute, I'm not sure what the right word is yet, but as we, I'll say that word, let go of the old way of being, and we allow more of who we really are to come in. And I think that's what this next year is really about.
Massive remembering. And I like how you bring up the language that we're using around certain things, because it's almost like we use what is the best we can do at a moment. And then we remember more and we're like, oh, that feels more resonant or more of a fit.
Yes, and it's not judging the words we've used or the actions we've taken or our responses in the past, but using that as feedback. Like, oh, that's interesting. I did that. I wonder why. And looking at that. And yeah, letting go of the judging and the labeling and making ourselves wrong, because we're absolutely magnificent, divine beings of light. And yes, we have forgotten some of that. And there's, as a whole, as a collective, there's been a lot of, just not remembering who we really are. And but we're always doing our best. We're always responding to the best of our capacity in that moment or in that time of our life. So not making ourselves wrong for how we felt or what we did in the past, but yet again, using it as feedback, loving that part of ourselves, acknowledging her. And saying, okay, and now this is how I choose to move forward. This is what I will take with me as my truth.
And then do you feel with like when you start to really have that compassion for yourself and look at the places that you were judgmental, I feel like it's a natural progression then that it's almost like those mirrors get polished a bit more, and then we're more able to see this glimpse of wholeness or understand like, oh, Alicia is saying I'm a divine being, like, oh, could it possibly be? And what do you think? Because I think we are in human form here. So a lot of people living are, or listening, I should say, living and listening, there's a like a progression or this almost like a variety of where we are in our lives on the path. And how is this conversation inclusive of all of us instead of being exclusive to people who don't feel like, oh, I'm not what she's talking about. I'm not there yet. But I believe that we are, our goal is to be inclusive. So how is that that's true?
I think we could go many different directions with that question, but what I'm getting is that there are some who might hear the words, you know, we're divine, magnificent, brilliant beings of light, and go, not me, not I. Like, I shout, I get irritated, I judge, I, you know, and all the ways that they make themselves not a brilliant divine being. And what I'm seeing actually is that we all have, I know that everyone listening has had a moment where they're looking, maybe I'm seeing like the ocean with sparkling water shimmering on the waves, or a sunset, or a newborn, a flower, the first, you know, the first snowdrop, you know, coming through the snow as spring comes through. And but this moment of pure wonder, beauty, being in awe of what is right there for them. And what I would invite them to do is like to just, if they have a memory or imagine that connection where they're in that moment of wonder, pure awe, the overwhelming beauty of who or whatever is before them. And no, first of all, they couldn't feel that if they didn't recognize the divine right in front of them. What they're experiencing actually is this moment of re recognition and remembering. And that the outer world is a reflection of our inner world. So if they've had this moment or this sense, just, woof, you know, no words, just wonder, then it's because it's a part of them recognizing, remembering that, and it's coming back to them. So,
It's proof right there, right? Right there. I love that, those examples. We all have that in us. We all have that, you know, ability to remember and recognize. I remember when this summer, when I had joined you in Melanie Ramone's week, she called it mastermind at the time, I think because she said, I can't find a better name for it at the moment. But I had done a reading, I'll name her, with Jen Stumpf, who was in our group. And I was so taken by the clarity that Jen came through with. It felt like it was very high vibration and very, it was just so, her energy was so clear to me and clean. And I thought, oh, I admire that so much. Like, oh my gosh, she's amazing. She's amazing. And I shared that with our group, and you all reminded me, well, you see that in her and you recognize it, and it's also in you. And I think I wanted to share that right here because I think people don't realize that. And you know, we seek the people that, I don't know, sometimes they have something that we think that only they have, that is unattainable by us or whatever, but that it's like, oh, no, maybe you're attracted to them because you're meant to uncover it in yourself.
And I love this, and I love that you remember this, because it obviously was, it's made an impact on you, like, right? I think, yeah, what you receive from that experience. And often I feel that we're drawn to people, teachers, coaches, mentors, friends. Often when we're really drawn is something like we think they walk on water, or they're like better than whatever, you know, we can imagine. What they're really doing is actually reflecting back to us a version of ourselves that we are wanting to reclaim. Not reclaim, maybe embody. And often it's a version of our future that we recognize, that we know we have this within this, and it's like, oh, there I am. There's another aspect of that energy, whether it's power or clarity or joy, whatever it is that we're being drawn to. And it's another form of remembrance, because we are all here together. So we do this for each other. We are mirrors for each other.
And when we can reflect back those things, to even tell, you know, for Jen to hear me say, like, wow, I admire that in you. That's what we're meant to be recognizing, seeing, sharing with our communication, using the gifts we have to reflect the brilliance. Because I do believe, like, one of, I think the reason I asked you to be my first guest in 2026 was because I sense so much clarity, love, and light coming through you. And I was like, well, this is just needs to be. Everyone's talking about how this is a 1 year of new beginnings and fresh starts and rebirths. And I want to, before we recorded, you said something about 2025. And what, you know, for you or for the collective, what do you think 2025 was all about?
For me, And I can't speak for everyone because everybody has their own experience and interpretation. But what I saw, what I felt personally, and also with my community and my clients and also friends as well, was a lot of completion of old ways of doing things, old ways of being that actually aren't really loving or helpful, and that hinder us from being in our fullest, brightest, most brilliant light and energy. And so for me, there's been a lot of, I guess, healing, but I like the way Melanie, it's wholing, it's wholing, it's coming back to our wholeness. So it's not fixing or repairing anything, but it's like letting go of actually what interferes with the fullest, brightest expression of who we really are. So yeah, a lot of letting go, a lot of completion, a lot of really looking at who am I really and who do I really want to be? So even if we might not have even asked that question consciously, at some level, this is happening at the collective because, look at how much in our world that it looks very turbulent and chaotic. But what's happening is that the things that just don't resonate with wholeness, with truth, with love, because that's what we really are, they cannot, the infrastructure that they're built on is collapsing. And it cannot be taken into this new way of being and operating as a community. I'm talking about the whole world, right? The community of the collective. And so that for me is what 2025 has been, a lot of getting really clear about, yeah, who am I being? Why am I responding that way? And is that what I really want? And let's change it if I don't.
That's really fascinating too, because if you think about the start of 2025, it started with a boom. It started with, right off the bat, like, okay, let's get going here. And it was almost like supercharged. So the infrastructures could have almost like a velocity or an energy to them of like just breaking apart. Like I had a vision the other day of like taking a boulder and just smashing it to the ground. I think I was referring to, old thought patterns that were coming through for me that were an old version of me would have mired like in swirling in the mental chatter of it. But now I was able to, with a little outside reading about it, to understand that, like, oh no, first of all, there's nothing that you need to feel ashamed for. There's nothing that you need to be doing that you're not up to. There's like all like the old residuals. And I was able to move through it. And what I had read was that it was sort of a regression, but it was there for a repatterning. And remembrance you talk about, and one word that you use that I really love, and like I'll say it to people, I'll say, like, oh, Alicia says this, is the word echo. And sometimes you'll say, like, oh, this is an echo of something, who knows, from a past life or a past part of this life. But tell us about echoes, because I think it's cool language to use when stuff's occurring within us.
Oh, I've never even really thought about why using that word. Again, I love your questions. I think it's a good word though, because it is, there's a reverberation. There's just a vibration that is coming back to us. And I feel that we've heard that it used to be like what you resist persists. And it's not necessarily what we resist, but until we acknowledge whatever it is in us that we haven't loved, that wound or that hurt part of us will keep showing up in some way so that we can finally acknowledge that part and then welcome that part of us in and love her again. And that's that return to wholeness. Because even those little voices that, whether it's shame or guilt or whatever it might be that we're carrying, they're a part of us. And they responded in that way for a reason. There was some, it made sense at the time, or they're given what we knew in that moment, or our age in that moment, our level of awareness in that moment, or that experience or relationship. So none of what we've done or said or not said or not done is wrong or bad. It is what it was, and it has, and then we get to go, oh, yeah, I like that. I'm going to do that again. Or no, I don't like that. I'm not going to do that again. But until we acknowledge who we are and love ourselves unconditionally,
Yeah.
that will keep getting echoes.
It's so beautiful. I think I just had a revelation for the very first time, is that when I think of compassion, I always think of compassion as something that I'm applying to myself in the moment for some part of me that's needing it or calling out for it. But I think I just, for the first time, related it to, wait a minute, compassion is your true nature. You forgot
Yes.
that. It's not like
Yes.
this magical tool on the outside. You are compassion.
Oh, yes.
Why did I never think of that
Yes.
before?
Oh, I can feel like something go whoop, and like that's
Yeah.
affecting me too. So thank you for that. Thank you for
Yeah.
sharing that.
And there's something I was just going to say about those qualities of our true nature that, by their very nature, are expansive.
Yes, by their very nature. And it was, I'm going back to the very beginning of our conversation, about exclusion and making sure everybody feels included, and those words like you're divine, you're magnificent, you're brilliant, and going, oh no, not me. But it's like, but that is really our true nature. We are love. We come from love.
Yeah.
There is nothing that we get to play with the frequencies of love, and it doesn't always look very loving or feel very loving or lovely, but that's because of the choices and decisions and the environment and conditioning and, all the ways that and the structures that we've talked about that set us up to respond or react in certain ways. But we are remembering who we really are, these are magnificent creator beings of light.
That's so beautiful. I didn't think that I was going to ask a question about this, but it's coming to mind. For the time period we're in now, what is the opportunity we have with our children? That's an in general type of question, but what's the opportunity for us leading our children? Even if they're, you and I both have kids in our 20s, in their 20s now, they're not little
Yes.
ones, but.
Yeah. Well, I think the children coming in now, like it's a whole new wave. There is a sense of them coming in with less and maybe none of the, I'm here to work on this thing in my, it's some a pattern or ancestral code. And so they're not coming in so much for their own personal growth and expansion. They're coming in because they've already done that. They've got it. And they're coming in to help usher, show us the way, illuminate the way of how to be more whole in this world. But then coming back to, and some of us may have children who we already recognize that they are light. They are reminding us of the joy and the play. And I think there are so many children who, all our children can be teachers for us
Yeah.
in terms of modeling for us, being present. It's funny, I was thinking about this yesterday. I think I was already having a conversation that we were going to have here today. And I was remembering my son Elliot drawing on the wall. And it's like drawing on the wall isn't a bad thing, is it? But as adults, we're like, well, that's bad. Like as a child, it's like, well, here's this blank canvas. And oh, it needs a little decoration, or oh, there's an urge that I have. And so I remembered this conversation that he drew a line all the way around his room. It was in pencil, but it was like all these ups and valleys. And I went in, I was like, oh, Elliot, because he'd never drawn the wall. I said, why did you draw on the wall? He said, well, it wasn't decorated and it looked a bit plain. He was 4. And so my husband had this great idea, and we turned it into a mural that went all the way around his room, and we turned it into a meadow and grasses. And
Ooh.
we took his idea and we kind of expanded it. And I'm like, but it's like as adults, we could have had diff we all have different choices in how we respond to our child. We could have reprimanded him, scold him, made him feel bad, punished him. And so I think when we look at our children as the divine, magnificent beings of light who've chosen us, who've given us this, and we chose them as well. So we've got this collaboration. We agreed to come into each other's lives and have this experience. And rather looking at what's wrong, what's not right, what needs fixing, what needs to be improved, just look at these wonderful, again, I keep coming to that phrase, beings of light. And for my own children who are in their 20s, similar ages to yours, a version of me before this year, they might have been making decisions or be having a certain experience, and I would have gone into the worry, how can I fix this? How can I make it better? Like it was my problem and my child needed me. And they're adults now. Like when they're little infants, yes, they need us for certain things, right? But and what I've let go of this year is a lot of that the sense that it's on me. If there's a problem, it's mine to fix. Or if there's a situation, I need to make it better. And instead be really in awareness, to be in compassion and love. And what I noticed is that they move through things beautifully. They actually didn't need me to go in there and do anything. But I really think it's that frequency of love and trusting that my kid has got this, that they can figure it out. Whatever's coming up, like I said earlier, it's like it's an echo, it's something for them. And if I try to fix it or take it away, then they're not getting the opportunity that their soul had called in. So it's been very freeing for me as a mom, and I think my children are enjoying this version of me a little bit more.
Yeah, I probably think they are as well, because the one thing that I'm aware of is when I was w recently working on clearing worry that I had been holding for a long, long time, and I was really aware that that was there for me, and that by working with that part of myself, that I would be free. And when I became more free and liberated from it, my child would feel that I was coming from that place. And they're gonna, it would be, it could be your friend, it could be your partner, your boss, but you're showing up in a different way. And they say, like, they might not even consciously know, but you're showing up and your energy's different. And I think it's really important to work to do with ourselves so we show up in those ways.
Because especially as parents, I know not all of your listeners are parents, but we all have others in our lives we care for, and we might have had a tendency to worry about, but we are beings of energy. And so what you just said, we pick up on energy. They can feel, even if they don't acknowledge they're intuitive or are sensitive to energies, we all of us have this. We have these electromagnetic fields that we're moving in and living in and breathing in. And so we do respond and feel the shifts in energy. And so if we're coming into a conversation or a situation with a child and we're going to, oh, this is going to be hard, or oh, this is going to take so long. Like if it's a homework situation, or oh, here we go again. They're going to feel that, or hey, I need to fix something. They're going to feel like there's something wrong with them because we're trying to fix something. So I love that awareness you had about, we're energy beings and they feel it too. So.
I just give so much credit to them, because often they're that mirror into where, I'm being called to shift or grow. And I think they're so perceptive to the energies we're talking about. Like sometimes I'm thinking some children, they are maybe all that they can see through the BS and like the I don't know what to say. I don't mean to say the lies, but I used to do like a white lie here or there, and they'd be like, I don't believe you. Are you lying? I'm like, oh my God. And at the time I didn't know how they knew, but
I think, there's this a wonderful, I think that's one of the invitations for us, especially as we go into this new year, or that, that this is like now 2026, that to drop the facades, the pretenses, the people pleasing behaviors, that not that wanting to please someone is bad, right? I have that in me, and but it's helping me to build a business where I want to delight my clients and my community. But it's when we're sacrificing ourselves in order to do what we think someone else needs or wants or prefers, and it's costing us. That's what I feel is we have this enormous opportunity to not take that into this new space, this new energy of 2026.
So that can look like, you and I were trading messages earlier in the week when I had shared with you that I was receiving some wisdom from and direction from my body that I continued to override. It was an intuitive knowing that I had. And I think because if I would have canceled what I had planned, that would somehow the other per I'm projecting onto them that they would have been disappointed. A, they would have been disappointed, and B, they couldn't handle it. So it's like, well, Maureen, you just made up that whole story. I think these shades of the people pleaser and the good girl were coming through. Like, oh, because I think one of the layers on myself that I had was I was always the nice one. And when I was a teenager, because I had this outer facade of the nice one, I was lying my butt off behind the scenes about like what was really happening, but it was all to preserve Miss Nice. And then, voted the homecoming queen for like the fall, the homecoming, whatever that was, because on the outside, and don't get me wrong, like I was always genuinely nice, but come hell or high water, I was going to preserve that persona because it was protective, I think, at the time. But the shades of what we did when we were younger girls and women are still like in the echoes. And I had to be shown this week, like one, and then I rescheduled this. And you had said, well, Maureen, when you rescheduled it, that was sort of, I don't remember if you said that was your higher self or a part of you that knew it was trying to guide you, and you rescheduled again because you felt bad. If we can go through those times with awareness and kind of working with ourselves and being with ourselves and kind of sitting by our own side and being like, what do you need right now? Or what do you want to say? Or what is it? What are you afraid of? What is this disappointment that other people are going to feel in you? Like, what is that?
Wow, I feel like you just create a whole little tool of a checklist of when you're making a decision or making a commitment of any kind, run through these questions. They're all amazing. And what is that? If we're saying yes to something, what is that yes opening up for us? Like, what are we really saying yes to? And when we say no, what are we also saying yes to? Because when we say no, we make space for something else. And so I think, just really, and I think you said something really important. I can't remember exactly how you said it, but taking the time, having space to really listen to what do we really want? What is our body? How's our body responding? And what is it telling us? And what is our heart? Where is that urging us or inviting us or propelling us towards, right? And it's when we ignore what the body is trying to tell us and what our heart is trying to illuminate for us that we get sick, irritated, resentful, tired. Or I used to get a migraine because what I'd said yes to, I actually didn't really want to. So my body would find a way for me not to be in that particular event or environment. And I'd get a migraine. It would be excruciating. So I don't get migraines anymore. I'm not saying I'm
Fascinating.
perfect, but I've shifted a lot of that
Oh, yeah.
people please.
And you're a work in progress, I know, because you've had health things pop up. You've had life, in your face. And I've seen you go through the processes. And I think that that's an important part because we're all doing the work. We really are actively. And we're all, I think the thing, I think someone said something the other day about their kids being on this like really linear type path. And I had a moment of like, oh, wow, okay, my life doesn't exactly look that way. And then it was like, Maureen, you know now that we're all doing our own unique path. This whole like illusion, I think that the Danielle Rama Hoffman, I had her on the first year, she calls them illusion lies, but she's like, the illusion lie there is that we're all supposed to be doing the same damn thing, and that you do all that we know the machinations of what you're supposed to be doing. You go to school, be a good girl, get into college, get out, get a good job, get married, have a baby, whatever. I mean, it's pretty, but I think that now it's all kind of breaking apart, but in a moment, because one of my values, I think, is to keep on expanding what I know to be possible, is that I caught myself almost immediately where I think the versions of ourselves that are washing away for all of us to whatever degree they are, we when we do that work, and I think that's why it's so important to have the conversations and invest in ourselves, is that we begin to understand, oh, I am a divine being. I am an eternal creator. I am actually a manifester. I have incredible influence over the people in my lives by doing the things I'm doing. They're perfect. They're just where they are. They're on their own path. It's in their own timing. There's nowhere to get. There's nowhere that we have to be. And it's all hand in hand.
Yes. And I don't know how this links in, but I keep getting it's the frequency of appreciation. Yeah, just appreciating who we have in our lives and who we are and what we've done and what is coming up next, but just appreciating. Because this is a very unique experience we all have. Even if there is another coach in the world who's done the exact same training as you, Maureen, and was maybe born in the same place and went to the same school and did the same degree, like it doesn't matter what, external factors they might have had. Even with all of that being exactly the same, the way that you share, the way that you speak, the choices that you make are so unique and like one of a kind. And a bit like snowflakes, like everyone, or fingerprints, right? Just completely mind-boggling, like part of infinite creation in an expression. And so just to be in awe and wonder, and kind of coming back to where we started, like to be in awe and wonder and to remember that, and then to turn that on ourselves, to bring that into ourselves towards our own reflection, like literally in a mirror exercise, to be in front of a mirror and like feel that energy of awe and wonder, and then look at your own reflection and just allow yourself to let that energy, to absorb that energy. I think that can be very, I think
And
that is a
that
very powerful exercise.
I don't know what part of the quantum world that is, but that becomes cumulative. And it doesn't have to be this ritualistic, I do these five things every day. But for you, I love that mirror example. I know that even when you lived in, we were in the same town, but then you moved further out in the Chicago area, but you've always prioritized nature. And gotten out there with, you used to take your dog out with you and go on those wonderful woods walks and things. But talk about nature for a moment, because I feel like there's certain things in our world that are having a moment. And right now it is this call of nature. And I don't know if it's a oneness that the I am that blends with nature. The other one I'm seeing is the intelligence of animals really coming through and the appreciation of what they're up to. But when I think of you, I think of nature a lot.
Oh, really? Oh, I love that. Yeah, it's always been like some of my earliest memories are like looking at flowers and playing in the tall grass and just being immersed in the woods and nature. And I actually had this quote, on social media, you do those little quotes, and it was, you're not, we are not separate from nature. We're not apart from nature. We are a part of nature. And I feel that when we go into what we call nature, like we think of it as outside of our home and in the, the woods or the sea or the meadow, whatever it might be. What my sense is that it's, there's no ego in the trees. There's no limiting beliefs. There's no, oh, I wonder if I'm growing strong enough or tall enough, or I'm afraid of being seen. It's like the plants, the trees, the animals, they're just being fully themselves. And they reflect that back to us. It's like they go, oh, this is how, it's like they're reminding us of how to just be. And I think the more, and for those of you, I'm sure there are many listeners right now going, yeah, I feel that. Like they feel really restored. And it's just medicine, because it's a reflection of our wholeness.
Beautiful.
And so, yeah, I feel like I could say more, but then we go off on this other tangent. So I'm like, but
I think it's important though, because a lot of us, I'm living in an urban environment, but I do have a forest preserve not too long this way. I'm over by Lake Michigan in Chicago, right? And I think it's naturally gonna to happen for us where we're just gonna be called there more and more for even if you feel like you're living quite in an urban way.
And we can all have a plant. or grow a seedling, or touch
Yes.
the, even if it's not outside, it's in our own home. So I have plants. I give them names, and I talk to them every day. And because they're inside right now, because it's too cold where I live for them to be out. So I'll touch their leaves. They feel like they've got a breeze, and I'll just interact with them. And in my belief system, they are responding to that. They're
Yeah.
feeling love. They're feeling like they're a part of my household.
Yes. So I love that. And it's a call to be out. So as we're kind of, talking about too, those energies, I think you've alluded to a lot of them or just, said them straight on, but 2026, it's being called, I think it's the year of the horse
Yes, the
and
fire horse.
the fire horse.
So
Oh.
it's like amplified, like it's extra.
That's good. Yeah. So what do we like for that's coming through you or that you want to share about the year to come? I don't know.
Wow, thank you for that question, because again, your questions help me, bring in information from the field. So what I'm getting is that there has been, in the collective, there's a ripple of fear, but people are beginning to rise above the fear as they remember who they really are, as they question, well, is that how we have to do things? Does it have to stay that same way? And so I'm feeling, what I'm getting is that there's, in general, there's a sense of, it's almost like a pressure cooker, actually, like the steam, we're rising. And we're starting, we need to express, we're being invited to express more of our truth. And what I'm getting actually for 2026 in general is that I keep getting an image. So I'll show you the image. We've got this beautiful plane, and we're all lining up, and we're getting on the stairs to go up to the plane. And we don't want to take onto the plane any big, heavy luggage. So it's like we're arriving at the bottom of the staircase to get up to the plane. And it's like, no, I don't need that. No, I don't need that. And we're discarding and we're letting go. And so then when we walk on and we get onto the plane, we're not weighed down. We don't feel heavy. Our shoulders aren't aching. And we take our seats. It's a luxury plane. It's, beautiful seating. We've all got, first class beds and everything. And then it's vroom. We go like lightning. Like this year is going to move really fast. And everything like last year was all about shedding and letting go, and maybe some contemplation as we like diving and excavating. This year, I feel like we're going to go fast because we're not as weighed down. We're not carrying as much heavy stuff.
Ooh,
And
I
so I
love.
feel like if you get an idea, if you have a desire, something you've always wanted to do, or a new opportunity, or something you want to create or explore, experience comes in, don't question it. Just look at how can I have, yes, say yes, if that's resonating for you. And then things will happen fast. So I get a sense, like, so that horse, can you imagine
Yes.
getting onto a horse and just, and the
Wow.
horse is taking, the horse is a mag, another magnificent, glorious being. And the way we have treated the horse is a whole other topic. And I really feel that when we recognize and appreciate the horse as the majestic divine being, and no longer use it, use them for sport. And yeah, but anyway, that's another, but yeah, but remember, the horse is here, it's freedom. And so we
Beautiful.
can imagine that we're getting on that horse and we're, boom, it's just more expansion, more freedom. So our desires in this year, listening to our desires and saying yes. Even if in the moment we have no freaking idea how that will actually happen, but we just say, yes, I want this. I desire this. This fills my heart. I'm making space for it. And then just let that, your yes,
Yeah.
reverberate around you, and the world, reality will shift to bring you the opportunities for you to have that. That's what
So
I'm
good.
getting. I'm like,
So
I'm kind of excited.
good. And I just had this imagery of back to what we were saying before, is all the parts of us are going to be rejoicing.
Yeah.
The parts that didn't feel cared for, the parts
Yeah.
that judged ourselves or judged another, the part that excelled in their career, whatever it is, they're all rejoicing. It or the all of us, the whole of us.
Yes, the whole of us, because they played their part. They helped us to get to who we are now and what we're choosing now, what we're desiring now. They're an integral part of this whole expansion experience that we're on right now. So
I have a one last question, I think, around it feels like the energy feels like we're moving into an era or time period where the quantum mechanics are going to be understood more too. Is that accurate, do you feel, or is that what you're getting? Because I say that from the standpoint of things that used to take a long time, or we perceived you had to study it for 3 years in order, or you had to do this modality for your own healing. Like, what are you getting around that?
Well, as you initially asked, what I got is that we're going to understand more fully the interconnectedness between everything and anything. And so then when we, just like in quantum, or like when you split the atom and you have one atom or half, 100 miles away, and whatever you do to the other half, that other half responds, it reacts just as if it was still connected. My sense when you ask that question is that, oh, we're going to understand the mechanics of that, but it's not just about a single atom. It's all of us. It's not just all of our body, but all of us. And so I believe that and that's how ideas have come into being on this planet in two different people at the same time. Before there was the internet or telephones, but somehow, these divine energies, consciousnesses that wanted to be birthed in the world as an idea or as an invention, we're going to understand that, that they're coming in, they're choosing us, and that they're as much a part of us. I don't know if I'm making sense, but as they're as much a part of creation as we are. And we're going to be able to accelerate, collapse time or space between, just like I said, with the desires, like you have a desire, you have an idea, and then how it manifests can collapse, it like move very quickly because it can. Because it can.
Good enough. And it's interesting because this will be coming January 7th, this episode, but I feel the energy's already coming in.
And I feel like, there's a momentum building. I'm actually getting very excited as we're talking about this. Like, I can feel this energy bubbling and it's very effervescent. And yes, the making time and space for ourselves is so essential, because that's when we really get to listen to what do we really want? What are we carrying? What do we want to bring forth into the world? And if we don't make time and space for ourselves to have that, it doesn't have to be a meditation. It could be however we do it. The showers, great for me, baths, and it could just be sitting and staring out the window. But it doesn't have to be a big ritual or take a lot of time. But just having some of that time and space feels so important.
And I think there's a lot of, for me too, I've been aware of a lot of harking back to things that we may have known as children, like game playing, or with my older son, we've been going to the movie theater a lot, and it's just been so joyous. But I really appreciate, as we kind of end here, Alicia, that call to rest, rejuvenate, nourish yourself. You're so worth it. And it can be over the cup of tea. It can be the simplest of things. And
Yeah, petting your dog or your cat, or just simple and rest. And you and I have been talking about the importance of rest, and how you were saying before we started recording how, you and I, we've both noticed that when we allow for the rest, we have more energy. We have more zest, right?
And I think
So.
that an interesting doing the podcast this long, and I think kind of reading about all these things and just immersing, I begin to see patterns, or I begin to think certain things. And just like I said, I think we had to work hard to do things before, but I think because something's occurring where we're becoming more in a dance with this, the energy and the quantum. So just like I said before, that we will just be called to nature. Like we won't have to do anything. We'll just be called there. And I just had the same thought about the present moment. You won't really have to work to be in the present moment. You'll become in the present moment. And it feels like it's beginning to be a natural thing.
And I think it is in part because of all the things that have happened over the last several decades to get us that. And now we're getting, to enjoy, like there's a mass consciousness of awareness around, what are we choosing? Because our choices open up the new opportunities or timelines or, and then we follow those. And so we're getting more and more aware of what are we choosing for
I love
ourselves
it.
and our world.
Thank you for just gracing the presence here with Mystical Sisterhood today, Alicia. I can't thank you enough. Would you share where the best places to find you are? Is it your website? Is
So my is going through some changes, but yoursoulstory.com is the name of my website. And I do hang out on Facebook and Instagram and share some, just thoughts and activities and questions. But yoursoulstory.com is a good spot.
That's good. And I would say to encourage the listener to go and sign up for Alicia's email newsletter because I feel like what is coming through there now is channeled works. And so it's always a blessing to read it. And then those
Thank
things
you.
stick with me too.
Thank
And
you.
yeah, so thanks for being here. Happy 2026, everyone. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.